Hi, welcome to the program. I'm Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. We'll get the show started in just a second. Just take it easy. Get off my butt about that, will you? Here's the thing. There's still a lot of Trump supporters that I run into. Not with my car, although that wouldn't be right either. But I still run into them, and they are vehemently, they love the man, and I would do shaken baby syndrome on them if I could. Like, I would shake them by their shoulders and say, what the hell is wrong with you? There's two things at play here. Just hear me out, and then I'll start the show, and I won't talk about this anymore. I know this bothers you, but it's important stuff. If you remove Donald Trump from office, from the presidency, what would be the ramifications, okay? So the guy's removed from office because he's a dickhead. And that's in the Constitution. I don't know if you read the articles of impeachment. It says when the president acts like a dickhead, you can remove him from office. It's there in black and white. A lot of people aren't familiar with the dickhead clause, but it's in there. Oh yeah. And it applies. Let's say he's removed from office. The Republican senators actually say, okay, I've had enough of this crap. Do you know that behind the scenes, and this is a fact, it's a fact. I'm not making this up. The Republican people in Congress, they've had it with this guy. This guy is just causing them more pain and heartache and dilemma than anything. It's destroying their party. They know that, but they're scared because of this Trump base that just loves them. That's like 35% of the country, which isn't enough to feed a cow. I don't know what that meant either, by the way. So you remove Trump from office. What happens? Vice President Mike Pence becomes the President of the United States. It still sucks, but it doesn't suck as much. So what's the problem? So Pence is President of the United States. An election comes up. Those that supported Trump, they're not going to vote Democratic. They're still going to vote Republican. And they'll vote for Pence because he's a Republican, got the same general viewpoints, although, you know, Pence has to clean a lot of that brown stuff off his lips, and then, you know, he might be okay. At least the guy's got morals, as I assume he must. So it's a win-win for the Republicans to get Trump out of the way. No one's going to suffer. Here's the other side of the coin, man. If you leave Trump in office, that's a gigantic detriment. That means the Democrats kind of win easier because Trump is so much hated. Do you understand my logic? Because I don't. Again, here's the deal. Sorry to repeat myself. If Trump gets impeached and is removed from office, Vice President Pence becomes the president. That builds the Republicans. They're obviously going to vote for Pence all the way across the board. And some others might even tag on because Trump is out. Trump's a gigantic detriment. Removing Trump would actually be a building block strength for Republicans. Not removing Trump, you are guaranteed to lose gigantically. Take a look at what happened in 2018 with the House. Now you're looking at that for the entire Senate, House, and presidency. So remove the son of a bitch now. Take advantage of the dickhead clause. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Is anybody really listening anymore? Why doesn't anybody listen to me anymore? I'm not talking about the show. I've got plenty of listeners. I'm talking about my wisdom, my background, my knowledge. Why does it fall upon deaf ears? I think I make sense. I'm not egotistical in any sense of the word, but I do think through my stuff, unlike people in the government. Why don't you guys just listen to me? Return my phone calls. I call Washington every once in a while, and I say, you know, I'd like to help. I think I can give you some insight on what's actually going on. But you never call me back. You know my phone number. You could text me. That's your method of communication. Why don't you call me? I won't hurt you. We can have a cup of coffee, maybe a beer at your local bar. We'll talk. Don, I know you've spent your entire life cheating and conniving and lying, and that's business, isn't it, Don? But this country, it's more than business. It's people. It's people's lives. It's their feelings, their emotions, their comfort, their security, their belief, their foundation. And you have rocked and destroyed all of that because you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Don, call me or step to the side and get out of the way.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Get out of the way, Don. Get out of the way, Don. Move to the side. You know, I've often thought that presidents should not have ultimate power. There should be two presidents, president this and president that, and they work together as a team. They have to work things out between the two of them. They can't do anything unless they both agree on it. That way you've got kind of a backup system involved. Now, I know Congress is supposed to be the backup system, but you all see that doesn't work at all. Why not have two presidents at a time? Why are we screwing around with this one president ultimate power thing to the point where Trump walks around saying, I have ultimate power, I can do anything I want? That's a quote. Put two of them in there. That way you don't have this problem. You know, you got two people that get along, maybe have differing viewpoints. They work it out together and then they present that to Congress or to the American people. We need two people in that house. It's a big house. One president can have, like, the west side of the house, and the other one can have the east side of the house. There's plenty of bathrooms. Nobody's going to be waiting for a bathroom. It's plenty of room for two big families and probably a mother-in-law unit. So, what's the problem, you know? Let's have two presidents at a time. Preferably a man and a woman. Different backgrounds, different races, that's kind of, you know. That would be wonderful. Then everybody would be happy. Everybody will say, okay, that's all right. I'm happy now. Then we can get on with our problems, our relationship problems, trying to find a job, trying to cure our mental deficiencies and our physical deficiencies. You know, the usual stuff, you know. Drug habits, I mean, eating habits, trying to lose weight. Let's get back to that as opposed to, are we going to be surviving? Will the planet not be here in 30 years? That kind of thing. That's, you know, let's get back to the important stuff. Because we know that Trump definitely screwed up. He's a mental case that is damaging and ruining things beyond the point of return. Do you know, Trump started to take our troops out of Syria, where we were watching the Al-Qaeda and the ISIS people. Over 100 ISIS detainees have been released into the wild to do damage, and that's just the start. And who took our void? Well, the Russians just made a deal with the Kurds and Turkey, and the Russians are taking over the northern part of Syria. That's the part that we had taken over. We just gave it up to the Russians. Thank you, Donald. Nice job. And that's a fact. And even the Republican Congress people say, Donald, oh my God, oh, Donald, you're making this so hard for us, Donald. Don, here's a deal, man. Listen to me, Don. Listen to me. I know you listen to this show. I don't think so. Don, pack the suitcase. Gather the giant pictures of you on the wall. Get your maps and your furniture. Get your little wife and your little family and get the hell out of there. Go back to your business. Play golf. Make the supposed millions that you say you're making. Tend to your bankruptcies. Enjoy your final years, Don, because your legacy is shot. You can't do anything about it. That is finished. That is cooked. Your legacy is like boiled manure at this point. Give it up. Do some kind of like wild kind of tweet storm like you usually do and say, you know what? I'm too good for this crap. I am too good to be under a microscope by the Democrats, which is not true. You did it yourself, Don. You made this mess yourself. But use it as an excuse and say, look, you know, most of you don't want me here. I'm looking at the polls. You don't want me here. Look, I'm better than this. If you don't want my expertise, which is like God-like and Jesus-like, then I'll just I'll go back to my normal business and you can find some other guy to be president. I'm not running again. Don, if you did that, you might come out with your head hung high. If you don't, you're going to come up with your head hung low on a noose somewhere. Get me, Don? Do we understand each other? I think we do. I think we do. Okay, that's the political portion of the program. I actually love everybody. I wish the best for him. That's why he must leave office immediately and pursue your life, Don. Get out of the way. This is bigger than you are. And a 5-year-old child has just inserted himself into the entire planet and all its activities. That's scary stuff. And it's been proven. It is scary. It's getting scarier. Get out of the way, little kid. If Donald was a 5-year-old in a schoolyard, he would have been suspended by now. I can't even get him out of the White House. All right. Welcome to the program. How are you, by the way? I'm Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single weekday. I go through this every single time with you. You can hear us on iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, YouTube every day. The Podbean Network, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, and Podbay are just some of the channels and networks on which we appear every single weekday. Okay, good. Okay, all right, all right. Oh, let's calm down, shall we?
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, but you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including The Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
Listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
That's not true. I don't say bad words. That's not true. Don't lie. Thank you very much. Oh, Lord, huh? I'm starting to feel my age. I really am. How about you? How about you? I'm starting to hear 10-year-olds complain about their age. I am. I ran into a 10-year-old yesterday. Again, not with my car. That's an old joke. I said, 10-year-old, and the name was Bobby. I said, Bobby, can you believe this? Bobby, I said, how you doing, Bobby? What's it like to be a 10-year-old? And Bobby took his hand, put it on the back of his hip and said, I don't know, I got this pain in my back, it's awful. I don't know. I get up in the morning and I can't move. I'm stiff. I go to class and the teacher says, Bobby, what's wrong? I said, oh, you have no idea. I can't move. I don't sleep well. It's awful. I'm telling you, I'm getting migraines here, sitting here in the grade school. It's a lot of pressure for me and I got to walk home from school. I can't take the bus. The bus driver's ridiculous. I can't believe it. The bus driver's mashugana. Yes, I get them in back problems, and my mother gives me like a meal when I get home, you know, like a peanut butter sandwich, and I get agita from that, and I get a burning sensation in my esophagus, and I'm on medication for that, and my toes are starting to stretch in different directions. I'm telling you, it's not easy being 10 years old. Not to mention, I got problems at home. My parents, I don't like them. They don't like me. We don't get along. What are we supposed to do? I don't tell them what goes on with me. They don't tell me what goes on with them. It's a terrible situation, a relationship. I should have to put up this at 10 years old. I should have to put up with this kind of thing. It's an awful situation. I hope when I get older, I get better, but it isn't that way. I get more pain in my ass. I get up in the morning. I pee all night. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Next year I'm going to be 11. I can imagine what that's going to be like. It's going to be even worse. Oh, my God. I hope this goes away. I have to see my doctor, but I can't go by myself. I can't drive. I'm too young. So I have to say to my parents, take me to the doctor. My back hurts. They say, you're ridiculous. It's growing pains. It's not growing pains. I'm getting older. I'm going to be 11 soon, then 12, then 13. Where does that stop? Things get worse for me all the time. What am I supposed to do? It's not easy being a 10-year-old. Yeah, I mean, seriously, even those kids are complaining. It's awful, man. The body isn't what it used to be. And doctors say, you know, our diet consists of small pieces of plastic. Excuse me? What was that again, please? Yes, well, since we introduced plastic into our lives, plastic never breaks down. It gets into little microcosms of plastics, and the fish eat them, and the animals eat them, and we spray insecticides on our foods. We feed our animals all these different herbicides, flobicides, GMOs, GMAs. I mean, all kinds of things. I don't even know the words. We're just consuming pesticides, insecticides, plastics, all kinds. We're ingesting them every single day in microcosms of food. It's a wonder that, and that's why they say we are not feeling great. You know, I don't know. I don't think that's why. I think we're not feeling great because we don't do anything anymore. We do nothing. When people from the previous generation, they walked to everything. If they needed a loaf of bread, they would put their shoes on and walk to the store and buy some bread and walk home. They all had just one job. They would work 9 to 5. They'd get a whole hour and a half for lunch. They walked to work. They came home from work. Maybe they drove to work, but it was in a carpool. Not everybody had cars every time. One salary families, very, very comfortable for the most part. And they moved around. They did their own gardening. There were no landscapers. If the lawn needed to be mowed, they got a lawnmower and they mowed it. There were no power mowers. There were these hand crank motors. You push they're called push mowers, and the blades would rotate when you push the wheels. And people used to mow their lawns in this horrendously ridiculous, ineffective way, but they did it. They got out. They did stuff. Now we're sedentary. Our forms of entertainment all involve sitting in a chair, every single one of them. Damn it, I used to go to movie theaters and sit in the most uncomfortable movie theater chairs ever made, and you'd have to shift your weight constantly, which was a form of exercise. Now you go to the movie theaters, it's these gigantic cushy chairs where the seat cushions come up electronically. They're cushy. You never want to leave them. You sit there for 2.5 hours in this chair. You don't move. You fall asleep. Your feet are extended, so the blood is rushing to your crotch in a proper way. It's just that's how we entertain each other, by sitting in front of a screen and playing video games and straining our eyes to the point where we can't see anymore, and we need special glasses and prescription glasses and all that kind of stuff. It's how we live, kids. We drive everywhere. We drive. I'm going to go jogging today. Okay, where are you going to go? Oh, there's this great jogging place 20 miles away. Come on, let's get in the car. I'll drive you there. It's like, wow. Even people who play golf, holy crap, my friends. People used to play golf. They would hit that stupid ball with the stick, and then they'd get their golf bag, and they would walk to the next hole. They walked. Now they've got golf carts. We don't even walk to play sports anymore. God, what happened to you? What happened to you? And what do we do to look young? We don't exercise. We don't do anything. I don't. What do we do to look young? We put stuff in our face, Botox and skin creams and makeup to hide all our blemishes and all of our imperfections. We dye our hair and we pick our extra hair off our face and we go to dermatologists to look perfect. And, you know, that's how we look young. It's all facade. We're all clowns. We're clowns wearing this facade when underneath we're all willowing away and faltering into our own chasm of disbelief. I don't know what happened to you. I don't know. And in the process, we destroy the very planet that we live on. It's not like we can get in the car and drive to Mars. There are no options here. You know there are no options. There won't ever be any options. And if there are options, it'll be like generations and generations and generations away. And even then, that won't be an option. You got to take care of this planet, man. And then some people say, there's nothing wrong with this planet. It'll be here forever. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. And your relationship is perfect. Come on. Give me a break. Disillusionment. That's what the human race is, disillusionment. That's our catchphrase here. I don't know, man. I don't know. But it doesn't have to be like that. You don't have to conform to all of that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be a slave to your cell phone or a slave to your pills and your supplements and your CBD oils. Give me a break with that CBD oil crap. That's the biggest snake oil job going now. CBD oil. Who came up with this? Is there a guy named Robert CBD? Are those his initials? No, Ron, what we're doing is we're taking this oil out of the hemp plant, and we're taking the part that makes you high out of it, and the other part relieves your body of everything. Who said that? Who said that? Do you know what relieved my body of everything? Smoking pot, getting high, and not caring that my body hurt. That was the remedy to making pain go away. Taking the high part to my receptive sensors in my brain telling me, Ron, you're high, so you're not going to feel any pain for a little while. Enjoy. It was because I was high that I felt no pain. Now you're saying, well, I'm going to take the high thing out of the element and I'm just going to make you feel no pain. It doesn't work like that. The pain is still felt. This is the gigantic water pill of the world, is this CBD oil. It doesn't work. Nothing does. Nothing takes the pain away like that. You can also have a drink and get so sloshed that you don't know where you are. That pain will go away too for a period of time. Give me a break. Seriously? I don't know if you agree or disagree with me. It really doesn't matter because it's not a two-way thing here. I just talk and you listen. We have a great guest, I guess. I don't know. May not be great. I have no idea. We haven't heard the guest yet, so I don't know. But that's all going to happen right after a short break. All right. Are you happy? Are we doing all right for you here? Are you comfortable? You need placemats?
Do you know that there is one item that can not only increase your home's beauty, but its value? That would be placemats. Hello, I'm George Karonapikopoulos, owner of George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse, your one stop for all your placemat needs. We have a placemat for every room of your house. That's right, placemats are not just for the dining room anymore. Anywhere you might make a spill, or maybe where you eat, like in front of the TV. I do it all the time like you. You want a placemat. We have fancy placemats, like in bamboo or teak. That's right, teak. Nice plastic laminate ones for no stains, even blue. We can custom make you placemats in as little as 2 weeks. Come to our showroom at the intersection of Route 27 and the Holbrook Turnpike. You're going to like what you see. Your placemat is waiting for you at George K's Wholesale Placemat Warehouse.
Elizabeth Penniman joins us now. She's Vice President of Communications at the American Red Cross Services. And thanks for being with us today. How you doing?
Good morning, Ron. I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. We're talking about giving blood. I haven't talked about that in a while. And with so many natural disasters and things going on, is there more of a need for it, or are we pretty good?
There definitely is a need, Ron. Every 2 seconds in this country, someone needs blood, yet only about 3 out of 100 eligible donors donate. So the American Red Cross is putting out information every day to try and get people in to donate. And, you know, these are donations that will help car accident victims, children battling cancer, women who have had difficult childbirth. Mm-hmm. The need is constant and the need is great.
You know, interestingly enough, Elizabeth, I consider myself to be quite a smart person. I don't know what my blood type is. I guess I should know that. If you're in a situation, can they detect what your blood type is through a very quick, immediate test, or should I know?
You actually don't need to know your blood type.
All right.
If you are ever faced with a situation going into a hospital, you will be given a universal blood type, O, and you don't need to know your blood type, and you don't need to know your blood type to donate.
Ah, okay. Well, how's that work? If I don't know, it's discerned, I guess, through testing what it is.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Correct. Yeah. You'll go in and donate, and there will be a test done on your blood to establish that blood type.
Good. Okay. All right. I read, and I don't know if it's true, that when you used to give blood, they used to give you little gifts, toasters or something. Is that true? Did that ever happen?
Well, you know, we pride ourselves on having a wonderful little canteen at our blood drive.
Uh-huh.
And so when you're done donating, you can get some cookies and some juice.
All right.
Sometimes around different times of year, we do have some different giveaways to get people in to motivate folks to donate, gift cards and that kind of thing. So you can go to redcrossblood.org, which is our website, and check out what the latest sort of blood drive situation looks like.
Okay. Elizabeth, when you give blood, I mean, I've never done it before. I'll raise my hand. I'm sorry. I never have done it. Do you feel weaker? Do you have to do something in preparation? How's that actually work? I mean, what are some of the myths about giving blood, and perhaps a reason why people don't do it?
You know, I think that maybe it's that fear of needles. I can tell you, as a longtime blood donor, it is such a minor little pinch.
Yep.
It's over very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the fact that one blood donation can potentially save up to 3 lives.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful and pretty rewarding.
Wow.
To prepare, basically, you want to get rest the night before. You don't want to exercise strenuously, and you want to make sure that you're hydrated.
Okay.
Drink plenty of water. Protein's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
But really, it's such a simple procedure, and it's the gift of life.
Okay. I mean, we all get blood tests, or we should, annually anyway. So it's not much different than that, I guess.
Not at all. Not at all. Honestly, it's so incredibly simple. You lie down on a table. You can ask for a blanket. The technicians are incredibly kind and patient.
Sure.
And they're grateful for you being there. So, you know, I honestly would encourage you to do so. It's a really rewarding experience.
All right. Is there a certain age that is preferable, or does that not matter?
Well, in most states, You need to be at least 18. Mm-hmm. Some you can donate when you're younger than that with parental permission. You need to weigh at least 110 pounds mm-hmm. and be in good health.
Okay.
But, you know, I think I mentioned this earlier, that only 3 out of 100 people eligible to donate actually sign up to give blood.
Yeah.
Blood transfusion is one of the most common hospital procedures that takes place in hospitals every day.
Yeah.
So the need is really, really great.
You make an interesting point about car accidents, for example, and other types of a type of illness, because we usually think, most of us, that there's a drive for blood. It's because there's been some natural disaster where many people have been are not well, and some disaster has occurred, and it's encouraged to give blood. One would think that if there isn't a drive, then it's okay. Then you don't need to really do that because they got plenty.
Well, you're right, Ron. In the situation of natural disasters, it's the blood on the shelves that is what helps people in need.
Mm-hmm.
We actually stand up 500 blood drives every single day. That's a lot. And the need is great throughout the year. And that blood drive today, those blood drives across the country, we have to do the same thing tomorrow and the next day and the next day. It really is something that people don't realize unless they've been affected by a car accident or a family member with cancer or a woman who's just had a difficult childbirth. Those transfusions are really, truly the gift of life and save lives.
Okay. And the blood is tested before it is utilized, I would assume, because some people may give blood and not even know they have some type of disease brewing. All right. Thank you so much for your time today.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Elizabeth. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for me today. I'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope that you join me then. That would be really, really nice. I would love that. I would love that. And I promise it'll be much better than today's show. Not necessarily. I'm not sure, really. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. All right, that's enough. That's enough. That'll do it for today.